Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bring in show music, please.
Hi, I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on Squawk Pod. Tesla asking for a re-vote on Elon Musk's many billion-dollar pay package.
2018, I think people voted on this thinking they would never have to pay it, and they'd be super happy to pay it if the numbers ever got to where they are.
But they did get to where they were.
And they did get to where they were.
We're reading between the lines of Tesla's latest proxy with Tulane Law professor Ann Lipton.
It's not a question of justice that he relied on this and then it was taken away. This is a question of him being charged with functionally manipulating the board.
And 100 days from the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. Three Olympians join us, including Courtney Ryan, a Paralympic basketballer.
COVID Paralympics was my first Paralympics, so to have the opportunity to have family, friends in the crowd this time, it's really special.
The rise of women's sports. Maggie Steffens, Team USA water polo captain.
Women's sports always been there. There's always been the Caitlin Clarks. There's always been those women who have been paving the way, and now they're getting that shine, that moment.
Plus, President Biden hoping to triple steel tariffs on China. And Fed Chair Powell says rate cuts? Just hold on a minute.
The question for the markets is, will we have to establish a new trend of declining inflation readings?
Right.
And so is a bar even higher to start cutting rates?
Yes, it is.
It's Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Andrew by in 3, 2, 1. Cue Andrew.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We're live at the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Andrew Ross Sorkin along with Melissa Lee. Joe and Becky are off today. It's nice to see you once again.
Nice to be here.
We got a lot going on. Miss Fast Money.
We did go above 5% on the 2-year yield.
We did.
Briefly yesterday.
We did briefly.
Yeah.
So there was a move, but now it's modulating.
Back off just a little bit, yeah. This is what happened here. The 2-year Treasury yield briefly topping 5% after Fed Chair Jay Powell made his first public comments since last week's hotter-than-expected inflation data.
We've said at the FOMC that we'll need greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2% before it would be appropriate to ease policy. The recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence.
Powell echoed recent statements by other Fed officials indicating the current policy level will likely stay in place until inflation gets closer to its target. And so effectively, Andrew, he's saying that the data has recently been coming in hot. We've departed from that downward trend on inflation that we saw towards the end of last year. And now the question for the markets is, will we have to establish a new trend of declining inflation readings?
Right.
And so is a bar even higher to start cutting rates?
Yes,
we've already seen a lot of banks push out their first rate increase to September, which is the, I think, 68% at this point. And some have said, you know what, maybe none in 2024. Maybe it's 2025.
Can you believe we were at 7?
Well, that was always crazy.
The street was at 7.
I don't think the street should have ever been at 7 or 6.
Probably 6 weeks ago.
Beginning of the year, it was 6.
Right?
But that probably
we had somebody sitting here literally 3 weeks ago talking about how it was going to begin in June, and then there was going to be a cut every month for the rest of the year. Yeah. New this morning, President Biden calling for a tripling of the existing tariff rate of Chinese steel and aluminum. It's in response to what the administration says are unfair trade practices, including policies and subsidies that undercut U.S. produced metals. The White House says the current average tariff on steel and aluminum is 7.5%. The president directing his trade office to try to consider raising that rate to an average of 22.5%. What do you think? That's a big jump.
It's a huge jump. And all of these sanctions, while they might have political basis, are effectively inflationary. Who will pay for the higher cost? You know, if there are continued sanctions on, you know, oil.
100%.
On steel and aluminum.
Has Jay Powell, you think, consulted with him on this?
Yeah. Highly unlikely.
Cheese will be next.
Up next on Squawk Pod, the saga over Elon Musk's compensation. Months ago, a court voided Musk's multi-billion dollar pay package at Tesla, and today the company is asking its shareholders to vote again on Musk's take-home. Tulane Law professor Ann Lipton joins us with her take.
Do you not believe that he should be paid at all for the last 5 years?
I believe that he was paid in the fact that he owns something like 10% of Tesla. This was part of the decision, so that every time he increased Tesla's value, he was motivated to do so. I mean, people like Mark Zuckerberg don't take a salary, and that's why.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Click, 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 click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva. What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Welcome back to Squawk Pod from CNBC.
Roll off up track.
I'm Melissa Lee, along with Andrew Ross Sorkin. Joe and Becky are off today.
Tesla effectively asking shareholders to re-vote on Elon Musk's pay package that was given to him in 2018 and then overturned by a judge in Delaware. The board effectively saying he hasn't been paid since 2018. Remember, these were options that had been granted to him. They have not come to him. But it's a very interesting situation. It was the richest pay package in history. At the time, I remember sitting actually with Joe and Becky in Davos when the news broke. Nobody thought that he would be paid this amount of money because it required him to reach thresholds
that were so
optimistic around the market cap and sales that would get the company over $650 billion in market cap at the time. People called it laughable and crazy. And yet the judge effectively overturned that pay package, saying that the board was not independent and was too close, effectively, to Elon Musk and did not negotiate the way she believed they should. This vote or re-vote, effectively, would make that case and the judge's decision moot if, in fact, they were to vote in favor of it. The company's continuing to appeal that decision, but irrespective of that, this would happen in June when the company has its annual meeting. The question is very interesting, though, contextually. You know, in 2018, I think people voted on this thinking they would never have to pay it, and they'd be super happy to pay it if the numbers ever got to where they are.
And they, but they did get to where
and
they were.
And they did get to where they were.
Right.
And he did everything that that the pay package required.
And therefore, he earned that pay.
And he therefore earned that pay. I argued at the time this was the most skin in the game pay package that ever existed. Now, there were other people, clearly this judge, who said, look, he has so much of a stake in Tesla already that you didn't need to incentivize him further. Mm-hmm. Now the question, with hindsight, because it's a look back, and the context is different because the company's more challenged than it was then, the hopes and dreams are different,
right,
potentially. Does a shareholder in this company say, I'm happy to pay this money? Do they say, oh my goodness, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to get to save myself potentially 50 some odd billion dollars, or is there another deal to be had? It's an up-down vote, by the way. So it's not, you know, a shareholder can't come in and propose a different kind of comp package. Now, the flip side is, does Elon Musk, or is the suggestion going to be from the board that if we don't pay Elon Musk this amount of money, that he is going to turn his attention to SpaceX or something else? Where is the leverage point in all of this, if you will? Fascinatingly, if you look through this proxy, what you're now seeing is the company saying that four of the largest shareholders in the company, including T. Rowe Price, came to them unsolicited and said, we'll back this and we want you to pursue this vote.
Unsolicited meaning they proposed it?
Meaning the shareholders this is according to the proxy, came to Tesla
and said, this is what you should do.
What you should do is you should have a revote, and we will vote in favor of the pay package. We want to get this. We want to get rid of this issue. We don't want to deal with this issue anymore. It's an overhang on everything. The other thing that was announced this morning that's fascinating, and this has been telegraphed by Elon Musk, is the company asking shareholders to vote in favor of moving Tesla from a Delaware-based company to Texas. In this case, they're making the argument that it will create more democracy among shareholders because they don't believe that Tesla's a that Delaware is actually a democratic place, fair for shareholders. Because in this case, they see this decision the way they do, but also that Texas is where they've made their home, and this is where they want
right.
company
and
to
we
be
knew
based.
That we knew that part of it.
We knew that was
really
likely that was likely
to happen. Revote,
the pay package revote is the big news, and the big question is what that fight ultimately looks like. There's also going to be, you have to remember, the plaintiff's lawyer that brought this case has a lot of their own money riding on this, or at least the fees that they are going to get.
Sure.
They could mount a campaign on the other side of this, meaning this could turn into a proxy war, if you will, of sorts, where you have multiple sides coming perhaps on CNBC and other places saying, look, you know, the Tesla board saying, out of fairness, Elon did everything we said he was going to do. Please vote in favor of it. And by the way, we should say at the time, 73% of shareholders voted in favor of the deal at the time. In 2018. There may be other shareholders that could come out and say, we don't want to vote in favor of this.
But how does this address the issue of the board not being independent?
So in this instance, what they're saying is we are now, to the extent we are sharing with you, dear shareholder, the entirety of the case. The case is now in the public domain. They effectively have attached the decision
to the
proxy. So if you're a shareholder, you can read through everything and you can see if you believe that these directors are too close.
But does that shareholder vote supersede a judge's decision about the independence of the board?
It would be, I think it would, because I think it would be very hard for a shareholder to bring a second suit and say that this is an unfair
But technically
thing.
The shareholders voted on the first pay package.
Shareholders voted on the first pay package, and what this judge And in truth, I should say, I think I disagreed with this judge's decision. But this judge decided that there was not enough disclosure around how this deal was made, how independent or not independent these directors were who made this decision, and all of that. If all of that is in the not just the public domain, but is delivered to you, the shareholder, in a letter, right, that says, here are all the problems. This guy is close to this guy, and they're all interrelated. And by the way, the judge thinks it's a terrible deal, and this, and you still decide to vote on it in that way. I think it would be very hard for a shareholder to bring a new suit, meaning this plaintiff's lawyer, to bring a new suit and say,
this is a new chapter in terms of corporate governance.
Completely.
Because anytime a judge finds that they don't agree with something that has happened at a corporation, then afterwards the corporation attaches that decision to a proxy and says, now you vote, and this whatever you vote will supersede a judge's decision.
I think this is a very different situation. I think this is a very unusual situation. Yes, I think, first of all, it's very rare where you have a judge effectively overruling a shareholder vote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually can't remember a situation like this. And this is one of the reasons why I think there were so many people, frankly, who were outraged by the judge's decision. And the basis of that decision was on this idea of a lack of disclosure. So if, in fact, you believe that now this is being disclosed, it's disclosed, we all know, I think it would be very hard. And I don't think it necessarily sets a precedent, per se, because I don't think there's cases that look like this that have arisen so frequently.
Not cases specifically like this, but you just wonder if this sets a precedent in terms of just the notion of a judge's decision that can be rethought or superseded by a shareholder vote afterwards.
Well, do it in a different context then. And that's why I'm saying I don't think it'd be there's a precedent. Let's say two companies decided to merge and somebody thought that the company that's the buyer spending too much money or wasn't a fiduciary, right? And
the
then the judge says this is no good. But the question is, why is the judge saying it's no good? Usually it would be around disclosure or something like that.
Right.
So, yes, you could go back and do it. Usually people don't go back and do it because the deal is off or the timing has changed. Mm-hmm. The price would be different.
I would argue that this is really an overhang for them. I mean, I think that it's a novel and interesting way of getting around this and putting to bed this issue. But I don't think this has been an overhang on the stock.
Joining us right now on the Squawk News Line is Ann Lipton, professor of law at Tulane. We've talked to you about this case before. This a new development. And it appears that if shareholders were to vote again and vote in favor, it would moot the judge's decision. What do you make of this?
I don't think it would moot the judge's decision, and it's not even clear, and I think they admit this in their proxy, what the effect will be. They're claiming that they can just reinstate the pay package if they get shareholder approval upon full disclosure. I'm not sure that's legally correct, and I don't think it moots the original decision, which found that there was a breach of fiduciary obligation with respect to the original award. So it actually, I mean, there's just, I don't know that there's much precedent for something like this, but I think that even if shareholders do vote in favor, the legal effect of that is not clear. And I think we're looking at.
And I'm going to disagree with you. You're the lawyer. You can tell me. It seems to me if, in fact, Tesla were to have a new compensation plan for Elon Musk, they would bring that new plan. And this is the equivalent of a new plan, if you will, to the shareholders, and as long as they disclosed how that arrangement was made properly, there would be no new case that shareholders would bring against that new plan. Why is this not the equivalent of that?
Because they don't actually say that. What they say, I mean, it's an interesting question why they didn't say it, but the way that they put it in the proxy is that this is a ratification of the old plan. They are very explicit that that's what they're asking for, which means what they're saying is we should give Musk $55 billion less than that now because Tesla stock down.
Right.
For his past work. It is not clear to me that that's something that a majority vote of shareholders can even authorize.
Why can't they authorize it either prospectively or looking back? Because at some point they're going to have to pay him something.
Well, they don't actually have to pay him for past work, and that's exactly the issue. That what they're saying is, let's give you several billion dollars for work that you've already performed. And that kind of generosity that is unnecessary could easily be considered waste legally and therefore can only be approved by a unanimous shareholder vote.
But that's the point, though. If 51% of the shareholders, and in this case,
unanimous.
Tesla, and Tesla is saying, by the way, that they believe, I think they said four of the largest shareholders in the company came to them unsolicited and said, please put this to a vote and we will vote in favor of it. But if, in fact, the independent shareholders, meaning not Elon Musk, not his brother and others, but if those shareholders vote in favor of this, knowing everything, the full disclosure, right? The proxy's the decision is attached to the proxy. So you can look and decide that everything about this is bad if you decided and you still voted in favor of it. You're saying you don't believe that is a legally viable vote?
Yeah, because if it's payment for past work, I mean, let's put it this way. Let's say a company decides that I want to light my assets on fire. There's no benefit to the company. I just want to do it because it's fun. You would need a unanimous shareholder vote for that. And that is what the plaintiffs I expect to be arguing this is the equivalent of, because it's framed as a payment for work he's already performed, which means that the company doesn't get any benefit from it.
Let me ask you a different question. If they came out and said, you know what, we are going to create a new plan that is prospective, but effectively isn't prospective. Same plan, effectively.
Yeah.
You basically have to do nothing for one day. That would count as the last part of the last 5 years. And then there's additional payments for future things. Would that change the dynamic? You think it's the
Absolutely.
Word ratification
it
that's bothering
really
you?
Absolutely, it actually really would. I mean, it raises the question why they didn't frame it that way. Maybe because people would have accused them of dishonesty and probably accurately so. But the fact is that a new pay package going forward for work, you know, compensating him for work he will perform, that's the kind of thing that, yeah, absolutely, shareholders can ratify.
Do you not believe that he should be paid at all for the last 5 years?
I believe that he was paid in the fact that he owns something like 10% of Tesla. Which means that, I mean, this was part of the decision, so that right. every time he increased Tesla's value, he was motivated to do so. I mean, people like Mark Zuckerberg don't take a salary, and that's why.
But don't you, here's the thing that I don't understand. Clearly, you have a view that he should not be paid for the last 5 years. That's what you just said, correct?
He has been very well compensated. And but in the
you
fact
don't believe that there should have been
Tesla
any
shares.
Compensation plan starting in 2018 for him at all?
I think that I'm not making a judgment about that. My judgment is, all I'm saying is that he absolutely was compensated in the sense that he
Okay, but I'm asking a different question. Do you believe a judge should be able to determine whether a board or a company compensates an individual, decides to compensate an individual? Whether you think the amount of, this is the issue, because whether you think the amount of money is too much or too little or waste or this or that, to me, that I don't understand. I think there's a fair argument, at least, I mean, you could make it, I don't necessarily think I'd agree with it, around the disclosure issues, right? There's a disclosure issue. If you don't feel like the process was disclosed properly, that's one thing. The question is, should a judge in any state be responsible for determining how pay is decided?
The way this unfolded in Tesla, and I think that this is appropriate, is that normally it is not the judge's decision, absolutely, and I think that every Delaware judge would agree, including McCormick. It's not the judge's decision. It's the decision of the board and decision of shareholders. The court only steps in when it believes that those entities were functionally disabled in many ways from making
the
decision.
Right, but why would they be disabled now? How are they disabled now if they know everything about this?
No, they're not disabled now, but that's, well, the problem, again, is that this is not a compensation decision anymore. As long as it's framed as paying him for work he already did, it's not compensation for his future earnings. And that's legally very possibly a difference.
Okay, let me just go back for a second, because I have to say I understand the argument you're making, but I also say to myself, if I made a deal with a company, if a company came to me and said, look, Andrew, I'm going to pay you X amount of money, and you're going to work for the next 5 years based on this assumption. And then at the end of the 5 years, a court decided that they didn't want me to get this kind of money. I would say that feels unfair. I was doing this on the assumption that this was, and by the way, in Elon's case, he had other opportunities, which is to say he could have refocused his efforts on SpaceX. I mean, he's a unique individual in that he's got a lot of there actually are other things he could do. I know you'd say he's incentivized, given his past ownership of Tesla, to stay in it. That's a separate issue. But my question is, from a just straight fairness perspective,
right.
if you work
well,
on based on a certain assumption and you don't get that money, do you not believe the company should try to figure out some way to compensate you for what your understanding of that deal was?
Can I challenge your hypothetical? Because
yeah.
you framed it as the company came to you and offered you this money, and then it was taken away. But what she found was that he went to Tesla and,
sure.
controlled controlled his own package in violation
way.
Of his fiduciary obligations, which means that it's not a question of justice, that he relied on this and then it was taken away. This is a question of him being charged with functionally manipulating the board.
But at this point, if, in fact, this whole vote is put to a vote with everything that's known again, you can't manipulate anybody.
But you can't be paid for past work done. That's the issue.
That's a separate.
That would be waste.
It
becomes a whole other set of issues at this point.
That's exactly, yeah. That paying somebody for work they've done and not providing new value is very possibly simply not something that even a majority of the shareholders can approve of, because if you're going to waste corporate assets, it needs all of the shareholders.
Okay, so Anne, let's assume you are right. What happens next?
What happens next, actually, I mean, it's very possible we lose shareholder lawsuits right away, but what I actually expect is that shareholders will ask for internal Tesla documents, what are known as 220 documents. They have a right of inspection for internal documents. Now, this proxy for the move to Texas, I don't know if we've talked about that. The move
we
to
haven't,
Texas,
we haven't hit Texas
of,
yet. Right.
There's a lot in the proxy, but I'm not sure there's as much detail on the pay package. So I think what the shareholders are going to likely ask for is internal documents. It's a not insignificant chance that the SEC will ask for clarification part of the proxy. It's a very long document. I haven't read it all, so I don't know what exactly they'd ask for. But those would be the immediate moves that I would expect. Internal documents asked for by shareholders and clarification requests from the SEC.
And if, in fact, the vote were to take place and then the vote would happen, then you'd say there would be a second shareholder lawsuit probably brought by the plaintiffs of the first case, no?
I don't know if it would be by the plaintiffs in the first case. I'm not sure exactly whether there might be concerns about whether they're having an odd set of conflicting incentives. But there are plenty of other shareholders and plaintiffs lawyers who I'm sure would be happy to take it.
Okay. It's a longer debate. I hope we get an opportunity to have it again. And once we get an opportunity to totally dive into all of the documents. Anne, thank you for joining us this morning. It's fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
Next on Squawk Pod, 100 days until the Paris Summer Olympics begin. We're checking in with elite female athletes from Team USA.
For some people, 100 days is a long time, but for us, it's time to get to work even more.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva.
You're listening to Squawk Pod from CNBC. Here's Andrew Ross Sorkin.
This is exciting. The 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris is now just 100 days away. And joining us are three athletes competing in this summer's games. Teams USA's women's water polo team captain Maggie Steffens and goalkeeper Ashley Johnson. Courtney Ryan's here. Team USA Paralympian on the women's wheelchair basketball team. Good morning.
Good morning.
How excited are you? I mean, look at you guys with the medals on, first of all. You just did that, we should say. But, I mean, they're real. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What are you thinking? I mean, seriously, it's 100 days away.
100 days. The adrenaline is real. It's kicking in. I feel like for some people, 100 days is a long time. But for us, it's time to get to work even more.
That was what I was going to ask. What's the training regimen? Is it like the 100 days out? Does the training regimen get different?
No, I think we stay consistent. We push harder. Like every day is like a game day. We're just trying to get like that anxiety and that nervousness, channel it into the pool and like bring our best.
This is going to be a different Olympics because I'm thinking of Tokyo, COVID, all of that. We're finally out of all of that.
Well, knock on wood.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Let's hope. But you guys experienced that. And this, I mean, sort of going into this, is it just mentally different?
Yeah, it's definitely mentally different for me. COVID Paralympics was my first Paralympics, so to have the opportunity to have family, friends in the crowd this time, it's really special and excited.
You guys are wearing a lot of medals. What's a shot not just a medal, but a gold this year, you think?
Well, that's the goal. I mean, for us, it's dream big, dream gold.
Who's the big
gold
competition this year for you? When you think in your head about how this could all play out?
Honestly, for us, it's everyone.
Pretty tight.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I think every single game, it could be a one goal game. So you really have to bring your best.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun to watch us. It's going to be close games.
What do you think of the Caitlin Clark effect on women's sports right now?
I mean, she's a huge name right now and is really pushing the women's movement. So we need more athletes like that are willing to showcase their sport, showcase the power of women.
Do you feel a shift happening? I mean, I was just with a whole bunch of sports team owners who were saying that the next big sort of investment in sports and the real shift and where the money's going to go is women's sports. I think they genuinely believe that we're at an inflection point. I know that's been said before. And so I'm curious whether you think this is an inflection point or this is something different.
Well, choose us.
Yeah.
We'll take the investment.
Right.
We'll take the sport. But no, I think it's very true. To be honest, women's sports always been there.
Right.
There's always been the Caitlin Clarks. There's always been those women who have been paving the way. And now they're getting that shine, that moment. And the more that we can capitalize on that, you've seen what's happened even in men's sports over time. And women's sports, we're right there, slowly but surely. So just imagine the potential. and the women that could leave their legacies with that little bit of light. So I'm really excited. I think it's definitely the right investment, and I'm right there with everybody else.
Okay, we have a lot of CEOs and business leaders and CMOs, chief marketing officers, who watch our broadcast. If, and I'm curious for each of you, if there could be one product or person or company that endorsed what you do, who would you want them to be? Mm. Not an easy question, right?
Not an easy question.
Just looking around, I'm going to say Amazon. I think that the way that their trajectory has just been up and up and up, and I think it really reflects the way that women's sports is moving, the way that, like, that consistency just, like, over time builds, like, a really strong company. I think that, like, you spoke about women's sports and the path that we've been on. I think, yes, having stars like Caitlin Clark trickles down to sports like ours and just the Olympic movement. And yeah, if we were invested in by a company like Amazon, that would be even more amazing.
If Andy Jassy and Jeff Bezos are watching, you know where to go. Courtney, Ashley, and Maggie, we want to thank you for coming in, and we look forward to seeing you in Paris this summer. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And of course, you can watch the Summer Olympics right here on NBC Networks and streaming on Peacock. CNBC will be bringing you coverage throughout the games. I'll be in Paris, and a special 3 days of Squawk Box. We're going to be bringing you live from Paris, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. I want to thank Melissa Lee for another day of hanging out.
Always a pleasure.
With all this big Elon Musk Tesla news. I'm sure we'll continue that debate.
And that's the pod for today. Thanks for listening. Go Team USA. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Thank you, Melissa Lee. Tune in weekday mornings to Squawk Box on CNBC at 6 Eastern. Follow Squawk Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And one more day to vote for us in the Webby Awards. Click the link in our episode notes today and show your support. We'll meet you right back here tomorrow.
We are clear. Thanks, guys.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.